Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Why It Matters. The last few years have been quite busy for the healthcare industry, especially with the emergence of COVID-19. But the orthopedic scene has also seen a huge evolution. Technology has changed orthopedic care in two tangible ways. First, increase accessibility to treatment and ensuring consistently reliable outcomes. Now, as far as orthopedics are concerned, robotics assistance during surgery can potentially lead to faster recoveries, plus more natural feel of the patients post-surgery in that sense. But is the industry ready to embrace even more tech when it comes to their workflow? And where does Southeast Asia stand where this is concerned? Let's find out more. On the line with me this morning is Dr. William Maloney, who is Professor of Orthopedic Surgery at Stanford University School of Medicine, Senior Advisor to TEHE Asia and LT Hospital. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning.
Obviously, I'm going to lead into the conversation of technology and orthopedics. But before I get into that tech aspect, surely the supply chain issues must have affected orthopedics during COVID-19. What were your observations?
Yeah, COVID had a big impact on orthopedic surgery, which is primarily elective surgery for the most part. So first of all, we had to cancel a lot of cases, and then we ended up with supply chain issues, parts not being available for surgery. The silver lining is two things happened. One is we started to do more outpatient total joint placements and outpatient spine surgery. And the second thing is that we started to use technology to connect to the patients at home, virtual visits, where the patient didn't actually have to come into the office.
Wow, virtual visits sounds great, but it can be quite a challenge because we're talking about limbs and mobility issues here.
Yes, it is quite a challenge, and a lot of smart young men and women in the Silicon Valley where I'm sitting right now are working on that problem, trying to develop a program to do a physical exam virtually.
Wow, that is amazing. What about some other challenges? I mean, right now, we're kind of getting out of COVID, going into that very endemic phase of things. What challenges are you seeing, especially here in Southeast Asia?
Well, we're seeing an uptake both in Southeast Asia and the United States with COVID once again. Fortunately, the patients aren't getting as sick, but current virus is extremely contagious, and we're still testing every patient preoperatively and canceling those that test positive.
Now, the idea of technology, and this is the fun part, using that, especially in the workflow process, what have been some of the best cases and some examples that you could share with us?
Yeah, so I think probably the best case is relates to hip and knee replacement. Again, robotics have been around for 3 decades, but the current generation of robotics are more user-friendly. They've been documented to be more precise, more accurate in implantation of the parts, which theoretically should lead to better long-term outcomes.
Now, I'm obviously not a doctor, but I'm thinking this is real skill when it comes to orthopedic surgery. You bring in technology like every other industry. Do doctors feel threatened by it?
Well, you know, you still have to be in the operating room. So I did 5 total joint placements today. We used the robot in 3 of those cases. You still have to make the incisions. You still have to do the preoperative planning. You still have to put the implants in. What the robot does is allow you to make the bone cuts. Think about orthopedic surgery as carpentry. And we're cutting bone using old-fashioned cutting blocks, much like you do to cut a 2x4 to build a house. With the robot will only let you cut the bone in the precise angle that you plan to cut it. So you cannot make a mistake in cutting the bone. It is going to make that cut where you planned it, which allows us to put the implants exactly where they need to be for that particular patient.
Right. I was never good at shop, and I can imagine that kind of accuracy that really helps to solve.
Well, you're right. It's funny you say that, because that kind of accuracy allows surgeons who actually weren't that good at chop to be much better at chop. So, you know, it sort of eliminates the outliers. Like anything, there are very skilled surgeons who don't need it. But in general, robotics will make everybody more precise and eliminate the outliers. And those outliers are the patients that have less than optimal results.
Yeah, it's about approaching it with the right attitude as well. This is here to assist us. Doctor, I'm curious, if we look at the map, right, globally, are the orthopedic issues different around the world? The challenges, is it different around the world?
No, the disease processes are pretty similar. Patients' acceptance of some of the procedures differs around the world. So the confidence in the U.S. hip and knee replacement is very high. So the relative percentage of patients who are willing to undergo that is very high. In some parts of the world, like Southeast Asia, some of the patient populations are not quite as confident in the outcomes as maybe the Americans or some of the Europeans. So I think that's gradually changing. And I think the specialty hospital concept that we're working on in Southeast Asia will address that in part.
Mm. Right now, what's being looked at in terms of innovation with regard to orthopedics?
Well, yeah, we talked about robotics. I think in the last decade, the two most important things have been accelerated rehab protocols, which allow us to get patients back to activity much faster, and more precise surgery even without the robot. So surgical skills have improved. We're doing incisions that are much smaller than even when I started practice, probably 25% of the size of an incision that I would do for a typical hip replacement 30 years ago. So the surgeons have really changed the practice, willing to accelerate the rehab, shorten the hospital stay, which of course reduce costs and allows hospitals to stay in business.
A bit of a money-related question, Doctor. I understand you serve as a consultant for the device industry as well as venture capital companies and private equity firms involved in healthcare. The medtech sector or health tech sector, quite a buzzword, quite a lot of interest. What are you seeing in this post-COVID world with regard to financing in this area?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a pretty mature business, right? Mm. The orthopedic device implant business is pretty mature. The outcomes are really quite good. Failures are rarely related to device failure. And if you look at the registries from Australia, Great Britain, the United States, for hip and knee replacement, survivorship at a decade is over 90%. So it's going to be hard to improve on that. And changes in devices will be evolutionary, not revolutionary. So I think what companies really focus on are taking costs out of the process.
Okay, taking costs out of the process. But what about talent? And I've got two questions. The first one being, is there a talent shortage? Is there enough interest in wanting to pursue this field?
Well, the younger generation is different. Yes, the predictions are that we're going to have a talent shortage, right?
Yeah.
And so it's never going to be in the places that you want to live in or I want to live in. It's going to be in places where, you know, it's less desirable place to live. So there are more orthopedic surgeons than we need in Silicon Valley, California. However, if you go out to some of the rural areas, whether it's in Malaysia or Indonesia or Thailand or the U.S., that's where we have real shortages.
Mm-hmm. But as far as doctors are concerned, and for anyone who's thinking about pursuing a field in medicine, how should they look at this career now? Should they be half doctor, half sort of technician or tech expert, half IT guy? Is this the evolution of the career itself?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you're absolutely right. It's, you know, the bodies of knowledge is increasing so quickly that you can't be an expert in all of any one field, whether it's orthopedics or cardiology or cancer. So we're seeing more and more specialization, which leads to better outcomes, but it puts pressure on coordination of care. So if I'm going to be a cardiologist or orthopedic surgeon focusing on my one little area, when my patient has other problems, I have to be able to reach out to other physicians. So that gets a little bit more complex. But when you do it well, the outcomes are much improved.
And then you'll have a case somewhat like you. You've got to be expert in the medicine, expert in the technology, and expert in able to getting financing if you want to advance your innovations.
Well, you know, cost has become a big issue in healthcare, as you know. The percentage of GDP in many countries is probably not sustainable. So yeah. Delivering a high-quality product at low cost is going to be critical to survival of the system.
Yeah, really a lot to think about as the industry moves forward. Dr. William Maloney, Professor of Orthopedic Surgery at Stanford University School of Medicine. He's also Senior Advisor to TE Asia and Alti Hospital. Doctor, I appreciate your time this morning. Take care and have a great day ahead.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.